It's time for the Performance Difference, featuring leading executives and HR professionals, focusing on recruiting, retaining, and improving employees. Now, here's your host, Laurie Genevieve.
Well, welcome to the Performance Different podcast. My name is Laurie Genevieve, and I am your host. The purpose of this podcast is we bring in thought leaders, business leaders, to talk about talent workforce and how we can all achieve better performance while we're at work. And today, I'm very honored to have Dottie Posto here joining me today. Hello, Dottie.
Good morning.
How are you?
Thanks so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to it today.
Good. Well, you know, the topic for our discussion today is the performance difference creativity can make. And before we start talking about what that means and such, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So my role is I am a consultant with Posto Management Consulting. I have my own firm, and I do organizational development consulting, which encompasses leadership development, team development, coaching, and change management work. And I've been in this industry for probably 25 to 30 years. I hate to say how long. I've had my own business now for about 4 years, and I'm really enjoying these last couple of years where I've had more of a focus on infusing creativity into the workplace and how that can improve both individual growth, organizational growth, and innovation, and just development overall in an organization.
Well, good. So tell me a little bit, you know, you and I talked obviously before this podcast, and one of the terms I really liked that you talked about was organizational creativity. And what does that mean?
So there's kind of two perspectives about organizational creativity. And there's a gentleman by the name of Harry Weber who wrote a book called Creativity at Work. And he defines organizational creativity as something people do to solve a specific problem or achieve a business objective. And this has a little bit more of a connotation towards creative problem solving and really looking at how do you use creativity and creative thinking and creative problem solving to help the organization grow. There's also the aspect of infusing creativity into the workplace. And let's just take a look at the definition of creativity. And there's a longer definition, which is the ability to transcend traditional ideas, rules, patterns, relationships, or the like, and to create meaningful new ideas, forms, methods, interpretations, etc., to create originality, progressiveness, or imagination. And then there's also been a short, IBM used the definition of just coming up with something new that works. Mm-hmm. A very short definition that they used in a survey that they conduct on a biannual basis. And so when we look at that aspect, it's really looking at how we take and infuse creativity into all aspects of the organization, the people, their knowledge, skills, and abilities, the processes, how we go about getting work done, the structure, our physical structures. Are there ways that we can create space and create the environment to foster creativity, as well as the culture, which is a huge part of creativity, of organizational creativity.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of, you know, my husband actually is a very technical type person. And when I think of creativity, I think of my, you know, young son who loves to draw and art and all that kind of stuff. You know, what are some ways that people can infuse creativity? You know, it's not just about art and drawing and such.
Absolutely. When we look at the definition of artist, it's a person who produces works in any of the arts, you know, and a lot of those are ones that are primarily subject to a more aesthetic criteria. So you're looking at someone who practices art, whether it's drawing or painting. That's being an artist or artistic. Whereas creativity is really about new ideas, transcending the traditional, the rules and patterns that we're used to. And so there's a number of ways we can infuse creativity into the workplace. A few examples, if you're looking for ways to infuse creativity into what you do personally, one way might be to use post-it notes for on a page or even on a wall nearby for your action items, rather than just your traditional written to-do list. You could create a visual approach. Our brain responds to images 60,000 times faster than it does to text. And so when we can combine images and text, the image is stored in our long-term memory, whereas that text is only stored in our short-term memory. So it really gets the brain activated to help you to remember things and to help you to take action on them.
Oh, interesting. You actually sort of hit on something for me, you know, because I'm a very visual type person. So you're mentioning like taking post-it notes and putting them, put my action items list on a post-it notes on my wall so that I look at that way, or?
Yeah. So each individual action item would be its own post-it note. Mm-hmm. And and you might even create a picture to go with it. There's a concept that a gentleman I met here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, called sketch notes. And you can use sketch notes to both create things for yourself in terms of notes that you want to remember. Mm-hmm. And sketch notes are a combination of typography, images, and words. And he started this concept of sketch notes as a way of taking notes in a meeting or at a conference. And mm-hmm. so that's another way to infuse creativity into the work that you do. And you could use it as a way to create your own to-do list. So on each post-it note, you might have a little picture, or you might even take a picture from a magazine that or somewhere that might help you look at your goal or your tasks a little bit differently. And each post-it has its own, so that when it's finished, you can take it off and it doesn't clutter. Whereas your to-do list, you've got all these scratch marks and arrows and things that, you know, I didn't do that today, so I have to put it over in tomorrow's list.
Right.
Where with the post-its, it's just a much easier and more visual approach to kind of keeping track of things.
Oh, interesting. I'm going to have to try that out. That's great. So why is organizational creativity important in an organization?
One of the things, when we look at creativity, there was a study done by IBM of 1,500 CEOs. And those CEOs, out of those 1,500, 60% of them identified creativity more than any other choice when they were asked to prioritize the three most important leadership qualities essential in the next 5 years. In addition, the American Management Association says that 75.7% of respondents felt that critical thinking, communication, collaboration, and creativity will become more important in their organization in the next 3 to 5 years. If we look back at the definition, which is to transcend traditional ideas, rules, patterns, and relationships to create new meaningful ideas, forms, and methods, this is what helps us to, this creativity is what helps us to keep our business moving forward, to keep our people moving forward, to actually help infuse growth in both our individuals as well as in the organization overall. I believe that if we don't find ways to foster creativity, it's what causes our organizations and our people to become stagnant.
Yeah, that sort of leads to my next question is, what is the real difference that organizational creativity can make? Where are some examples that you've seen or worked with organizations where applying this has really helped their business?
So let me first highlight three major differences that organizational creativity can make. The first is engagement. The second is performance. And the third is what I mentioned earlier, overall growth. So one of the things that, I'll give you an example. I worked with a president of an organization last year and his direct reports. And one of the things that we did was this is a group that had been working together already for a couple of years. And we did an exercise that I refer to as the shield, where each person uses pictures. You take a poster paper or flip chart size paper, and you divide it. You make a shield, so somehow a personal shield, and you divide it into four sections. And the first one is your journey. How did you get to the point where you are today? And the second one is, what are your strengths and weaknesses? And the third one is, what are your pet peeves? What drives you crazy in meetings or in relationships or whatever? And then the fourth one is your vision of the future. And by having the folks create these with pictures, they were told that the majority of what they put on this paper should be pictures and not words. It, first of all, accesses a different part of your brain. You know, when you're using pictures to create things, you're accessing that long-term memory. You're creating a different environment for yourself. And by putting all of those up on the wall and going around the room essentially like an art walk, they created an element of trust, an element of transparency, an element of openness that they had not experienced in the last 2 years that they had worked together. That exercise in and of itself had a huge impact on how much they were able to open up to each other and share with each other and become a team that was able to gel versus just, if we were to go through and say, okay, just tell me about your journey, and everybody went around the room and just talked about it without standing up and moving around, without the visual elements, mm-hmm. people would have checked out. They would have been bored. They would have not remembered half of what they had seen. Whereas even 6 months later, they were talking about something that was on somebody's shield. They remembered it, you know. So it has a huge difference in helping people to be engaged in the conversation, to improve performance over the long term. It helped them to get beyond personal differences in conversations and have some constructive and creative conflict in meetings versus just the head nod of, yeah, I agree. And then when they got out of the room, they weren't agreeing.
Right, exactly. When I could see people taking those shields and putting them up in their office and, you know, just as a, again, like you said, a visual reminder all the time. Because, I mean, we all have a story. And if we can share our stories with each other, where we're trying to go and do, we can better work as a team.
So two examples of that. One was when I finished my work with that organization, we actually took those shields and I took a photograph of every one of the shields and some photographs that we had taken during the different workshops that we did with the group. And I made a photo book for them. So they had a visual representation of the work that they had done together. And they had a story because the president wrote a short story, a short paragraph to each one of them about the impact that the work over the last year had done on him and on the organization.
Oh, how fantastic.
And then a second example. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned storytelling. Storytelling is an amazing way to infuse creativity into the organization and to develop engagement and performance. I'll give you an example. We had a group when I worked at an organization here in Milwaukee. A group of senior leaders, a vice president and her direct reports, and then their next level managers down. So we had approximately 30 people in the room. And one of the exercises we did was we had each one of them share a story about who was the most impactful leader they had experienced and why. And it was just 3 to 5 minutes per person. So it took a little bit of time. And it's one of those things that all of a sudden you take storytelling, which to me is a way of infusing creativity into the workplace. Mm-hmm. And you were able to understand, one, what did that person see as key leadership qualities? What did each person in the room see as key leadership qualities? And we were able to take that. And this is a critical element of how you can use creativity and then move it into the work that you're trying to do. So what we did was we were looking at what do these next level leaders, what do you need to develop? What does each one of them need to develop to be a key leader in this organization? And we took elements of each of their stories and said, okay, based on everything you heard, what do we want as an organization to be for as key leaders? What are some of those elements that each of us mentioned? So we took those stories and we turned it into, what are we doing going forward with this organization? How are we going to take each one of those impacts that each one of us had and use it to move our organization forward? So that element of debriefing an activity and debriefing and making sure that what you're doing from a creative perspective has to do with the business and has to do with moving the business forward and being able to make that connection for people. Because if all we did was the shield and didn't talk about, you know, okay, what did you learn different about people? Mm-hmm. What did you learn that will help you to work better in the teams going forward? those are things that some people will need to be able to make the connection to say, okay, we did this great exercise, but I don't get how it impacted. I don't get what it means for us as a team. Mm-hmm. Some people will get it automatically, and some people you need to kind of pull out some of those learnings so they see them explicitly.
Now, one of the thoughts that's coming as we're sitting here discussing that comes through my head is I think of the word innovation. You know, companies want to be innovative and such. What's the difference between creativity and innovation?
You know, it's interesting because I have been reading on that, and in some places it says that creativity is thinking up new things, whereas innovation is doing new things. And I'm not so sure that I completely agree with that. It's one of those, one of them leads to the other. They're both very intertwined. And Mark McGuinness, who's a creative entrepreneur and a creative coach, says, you don't get to be more innovative until you make yourself more creative first.
I like that.
Yeah. And if we look at the origins of the words, the word creative comes from the Latin word creare, which is to cause to exist, the ability to make something new exist. And innovative comes from the Latin innovar, which is to renew or alter.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think they're very much connected. And I agree that you really have to have that ability to think of new things to be able to, I actually kind of hate the term, the think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
It's being able to think up new ideas. I just love the definition from Harry Weber, the ability to transcend traditional ideas, rules, patterns, and relationships. You know, when we can think and get out of that rut, get out of that pattern, then we have the ability to innovate. We have the ability to renew, to be able to alter the way things are. If we don't have that ability to be creative, we won't have the ability to be innovative.
Right. Well, thinking about senior leadership and organizations and stuff, do you think do they see this as fluff? You know, how do we get senior leadership to not think of this as a nice to have, but really a key critical business point?
That is a risk. And I think the risk of having leadership look at this as fluff, there is a risk there. And if it doesn't need to happen that way. You know, there for the analytical leaders who are very numbers oriented, I think sharing with them some of the research that's been done either by IBM in their study of the CEOs or by Bloomberg Businessweek or the American Management Association, sharing with them some of the ways that creativity is seen by worldwide leaders as critical to engagement, critical to performance, critical to overall growth of the organization. Then I think it takes, you know, either, you know, and it depends on the culture of your organization. It might need a bottom-up and or a top-down approach. You know, depending on the culture of your organization, maybe it takes infusing a little creativity and getting their perception of the impact that it's having. For instance, one of the ways that I saw it happen with a group of senior leaders was they brought in what's referred to as a graphical recorder. I don't know if you've ever seen these wall posters where it's kind of like the sketch notes I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. It is a graphical, it's got words, it's got pictures, it's probably got more pictures than words. Mm-hmm. It's got interesting typography, it's got color. And it's a way of documenting what happened potentially in an all-day or multi-day meeting.
Mm-hmm.
A local fire department had a meeting with the Department of Homeland Security recently. It was a full two-day meeting. And they had a graphic recorder in and came up with this amazing visual that was able to represent all the things, all the critical things they had talked about over the course of those 2 days. I've seen it where senior leaders, you know, were a little skeptical with this. Who's this person in the back of the room? What are they doing?
Right.
This seems weird. And then in the end, when they had this visual that they were able to show people and walk people through, just the very nature of getting up and walking around and being able to, you know, show somebody these pictures helps to establish and infuse creativity. You know, when everybody's sitting down and just staring at each other, there's a different energy than when people are up and walking around. And so when these leaders could bring people to this visual and walk them through it, people understood it very quickly versus, you know, 27 PowerPoint slides. Here was one visual that they could share with their organization.
Oh, that's great. You know, one thing, when I used to do a lot of facilitation, it reminds me of at the end of the day, this was years ago, I used to take all the flip charts and walk around, sort of tell a story of what we talked about. And, but this takes it much more to the next level, you know, with the more pictures versus words in the way we remember things.
Exactly. And that is an excellent way. Number one, first, just by getting up and walking around. And what a cool way, maybe at the end of the day, everybody draws something. Everybody go up to this big wall of paper and everybody draws something that you got out of this event, this day, this, you know, program, whatever it was, whether it's a all day strategy meeting, you know, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I've used, if, you know, people don't, you know, you're introducing it slowly and people aren't comfortable drawing something, is I've used a stack of photographs. Now I had a friend who developed these on her own. She had a whole, you know, I think 150 photos that she took. You can also get them from the Center for Creative Leadership out in, I know that one of their, they're in Colorado Springs. They have a series of photographs, and I use these. There's, you know, a couple hundred different photographs, and I'll lay them out and I'll use them. I'll have people go pick two photographs to introduce themselves. One picture represents, here's me at work and here's me at home.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might use the photographs to check out at the end of a training that says, you know, what am I taking with me from this training? What are the three things that I'm taking with me, and using a photograph to represent that? Or, you know, different ways. There's a lot of different ways to use those photographs as ways of helping people to express what's in their head through the pictures. And again, people remember the pictures.
Well, and you know, that's brilliant, because it's funny when we're talking about drawing, I'm like, yeah, but what if someone, it's like in any meeting or anything, you might have the people that are hesitant to talk, the hesitant, you know, they have great ideas. If they hear they have to draw, they'll just check out. That there's different variety of ways and to enable those people to feel part of the team and to contribute what's being discussed.
Exactly. And this, you know, this, I haven't been through the sketch notes training, but I have the sketch notes book, and I've been speaking with the author. And when you think about it, you don't need to be an artist. Everything we draw is a combination of triangles, circles, squares, lines, dots, and rectangles. You know, it's just all this combination, and it doesn't have to be an artistic representation. It just needs to be visual.
Right.
It can be something very crude. And there's even more, I mean, even the very simple ways of infusing creativity into processes. Mind mapping is a very creative way to get the brain thinking about all the different things related to one topic, where you have the topic in the center and all of these different offshoots to the outside off of that, that are different ideas related to that one idea. You might use that as a way to, you know, how are we going to launch this new product? And so launch the product is in the middle, and all the ideas start stemming out from the outside. Mm-hmm. That's one way to infuse creativity into your brainstorming process.
Mm-hmm. What are, you know, so I'm business owner and I'm hearing this podcast and I'm like, I'm interested in this. I'm not sure if I need organizational creativity. I mean, I definitely can understand from a marketing, like new products and such, but what are some other things I should be thinking about or questions I should be asking myself as a business leader to maybe, you know, realize maybe I need to do this?
Well, I think that you know, things to look at. In your organization, little signs to look for where you might say, maybe some organizational creativity might help here. If people are on their phones or checked out of meetings, I mean, you can tell from an energy perspective, from looking at people's nonverbals, are they truly engaged in the conversation? If there's lack of engagement in those meetings, is there, you know, find a way to creatively, you know, mix things up a little. Maybe it's even by visual brainstorming or sketch noting the notes from the meeting. Another thing to look for is lack of constructive conflict. You know, if people aren't challenging ideas, if people aren't, you know, having those good conversations when something's brought up. If it's always, oh, we've done that before, we can never do that. You know, mm-hmm. if new ideas are constantly being shut down, that's another sign that we need to infuse creativity into the organization. A lack of attention or a lack of response to communications that are either requesting feedback or participation, again, that lack of engagement. If you see a lack of innovation in the organization where everything that seems to be happening, whether it's on the wellness program or whether it's on the new products that we're introducing, if there's that, we're just seem to be having small improvements from the last revision,
right,
then maybe there's a need to really infuse some creativity to shake things up and find those really out of the box transcending ideas that are going to help move the organization, you know, mm-hmm. a step function versus just a small, you know, step forward.
Right. You've given such wonderful examples about what organizational creativity looks like. What are some things that would be examples of not organizational creativity?
Well, I think, I mean, that's a great question, and it's a hard one to answer because there's so much that can be seen as creativity. I think if it's just artistry or artistic ability for the sake of artistic ability, that isn't organizational creativity. I mean, it's got to be something that is, again, getting people to think differently, getting people to generate the new ideas that transcend the traditional rules and patterns that are moving the people forward and or moving the organization forward.
Mm-hmm. What are obstacles you see that organizations have to overcome when trying to get started in organizational creativity?
And there are some, yes, obstacles that people will encounter. I think one of them is when you've got folks in the organization who are so highly driven, who don't always have or create the space in their day. In their environment. And this lack of space creates tension, creates anxiety, creates conflict. If you don't have that extra, and I always call it space or the energy to allow that creative process to happen, it's one of those where you sometimes have to slow down to speed up. So that's one thing, is if these people are so driven that they cannot pause to have a whole group engage. For instance, in mind mapping, it's like, boom, here's an idea. Let's just run with that one. Forget all the other ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody's just, they're moving so fast that they can't, that they don't have the capability to slow down. And if you're not keeping, I think another obstacle is the culture of the organization. So if there is a culture of fear, if there is a culture of where there's not transparency or there's not this candid and open communication, it is going to be a challenge to infuse creativity, especially if you're looking to use it in something like mind mapping or mm-hmm. brainstorming, because people are going to be afraid to speak up.
Right.
People are going to be afraid to share their ideas because what have they heard before? Oh, we've done that before. Oh, you know what? That'll never work. Oh, you know what? That's going to cost too much money. People will never appreciate that. People will never buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
If ideas are constantly being shut down in every situation, it's going to take some work on the culture of that to be able to infuse creativity and to allow creativity to happen in these types of environments, in these types of meetings and things like that.
Yeah, I almost see you would have to take sort of baby steps, you know, and do little things to build up to that, to make people feel trusting, you know, that, okay, I will be heard.
Yes, absolutely. And that's again, that whole concept of when you can create transparency. And to me, transparency is one of the critical elements of an organization is, you know, and transparency doesn't mean you share everything all the time.
Right.
I mean, senior leaders, if you frame it up right, here's what I can share with you. As senior leaders, there's going to be some things that we cannot share with the whole organization. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I can share. And then here's what we're working on. here's some of the steps we're taking to be able to solve the rest of the challenges or the issues in this situation, and here's when we think we'll be able to share more.
Mm.
You know, that kind of transparency, oftentimes, you know, you don't have that level of transparency, and people are saying, we're not going to tell you anything until we know everything. And that transparency, that level of transparency is just shuts people down, because if they're like, I don't know what's going on, why should I try? How can I help create new ideas and create new things in this organization if I don't know what's going on at that, you know, if we don't have a big picture of where this company's going and what objectives? Because this creativity has to be in alignment with both individuals. So you're either building the person, if you're building, infusing creativity to build and grow your people, and you're building, infusing creativity to build your organization. And if they don't know what they're building towards, if there's not enough transparency that they don't really truly understand what they're building towards and what issues the organization is facing that they might be able to help solve
mm-hmm.
with creativity, then, you know, it's hard to get them moving in that direction. It's hard to get the organization moving in that direction when there's not enough information for them to move towards.
Well, you know, something you just said, I mean, organizational creativity can also be used to help with employee morale. You know, if they feel like they're part of it, you know, I mean, because we all know, I mean, every personal organization, everything they should do should be working towards the overall company goal. And
yes.
using organizational creativity to make them feel part of it, I think could be potentially a value add to it. You know, if someone's considering which company to go with, they might choose someone that they feel like they're really going to be heard and be play an active part in the goals of the company.
Exactly. Exactly. And another piece in terms of, you know, does the organization allow that space? I mean, there's one organization here, a biomedical firm here in Wisconsin, that has specific chairs set up in the organization that are and a space, a quiet space. Maybe it's a chair in front of a window looking out over to the woods on the side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's contemplation space.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, they allow people to go and take, you know, time during their day to just think.
Wow.
You know, because if we don't create that space, we're constantly either living in the past or living in the future. We're not in the present. We don't have that capacity to respond and really respond or really listen, you know, that two ways of things, because we're always like on to the next thing, on to the next, on to the next, on to, what's my next meeting or what happened in the last meeting.
Right.
We have to create that capacity for being mindful in the present moment to be able to share what's necessary now and to be able to listen and truly respond to what people are sharing with us.
Well, you know, and also too, another thought that's been popping in my head as we talk is a lot of companies becoming more and more virtual. And, you know, I think organizational creativity even plays more important, making sure that you make time for things, because it can be done virtually. You know, there's tools and such. I mean,
absolutely.
I would think ultimately, yes, it'd be great to have everyone in the room together and talking. But, you know, I mean, just because you're not all together doesn't mean you can't do this.
Exactly.
So, as we, you know, begin to wrap up our time here, what are some other key points or facets that you would like to make sure to tell our listeners about organizational creativity?
I think there's small steps that everyone can take. You know, the first is to look for ways that you can individually, what can you do individually to infuse creativity, to improve your own personal results? Like we talked about, the post-it notes for the action items, understand, you know, using sketch notes to take notes in your meetings, using alternative ways to brainstorm versus just, you know, go around the room and have one person document it on the flip chart, you know, using visual brainstorming where everyone stands up and is contributing and jotting down notes, or, you know, using images, whatever way. How can you infuse that into your own work? And then secondly, how can you then look at the ways that you're working with others that is going to foster those candid conversations, those, that transparency, that new idea, so that you can have the new idea generation, ways that you're going to transcend that traditional, all those same ideas, all the same rules, all the same patterns, and being able to challenge each other on, yeah, that's something we've always done. What's something different? What can we do that we haven't done before? And finding ways to get that juice flowing, whether it's an input from someone from outside the organization or, you know, somehow really enabling that conversation within the teams that you're working with. And then thirdly, really creating that space, having the time and energy, whether it's in a meeting and allowing the time, if you're going to be doing something and infusing creativity and having a really major brainstorming, don't schedule a half an hour meeting. Create the space. Is it a 2-hour block that's needed to really get into the conversation and create that time to generate and really work with all those ideas? Mindfulness, learning, like we mentioned earlier, learning to be present, you know, practicing being present in the moment without, you know, coming into a meeting really focused on what do I have to do from the last meeting I was in, or thinking about, okay, my next one's in 30 minutes, where do I have to be and what do I have to have ready, and kind of focusing on that on my computer instead of really being present in the moment.
Oh, my biggest pet peeve is I'll be in meetings sometimes with clients and such, and they're answering emails and are doing other things, and I just know that they're not grasping the whole concept, you know, or whatever's being said.
Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, again, what's the level of trust? What's the level of transparency? Can we have the candid conversations where we say, is this not a good time?
Exactly.
If this isn't a good time, let's reschedule. Can I have your full attention? I know you've got other things that are pressing. Can we cover this and, you know, put all of our attention to it so that we give it our best?
Right. Exactly. Well, Dottie, this has just been wonderful speaking with you. What's the best way if someone's listening and would like to talk to you directly more about this? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way to get a hold of me is either via my LinkedIn profile, Dottie Posto, DottiePosto, or my email, dottie.posto@gmail.com.
Great. Well, again, Dottie, I just love this concept, and we'll have to have you on again and talk more about with companies you've done this with and what successes they have seen. I would love to have you back.
Sure. Would love to. This has been wonderful, Lori. Thank you.
Great. Well, that is it for today's podcast. Again, this is Lori Genevish with The Performance Difference. You can also find me on LinkedIn at Lori Genevish. And everyone have a wonderful day. Thank you.